The Duluth Economic Development Authority for March 26, 2025 is now called to order. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
I will. Anna Bailey?
Here.
Chiamaka Anymore?
Here.
Eric Forsman?
Here.
Janet Kennedy?
I'm here.
Dan Markham?
Here.
Connor Randall?
Here.
Roz Randorf, absent. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to start with public comment. Is there anyone here to address the commission on any matter? This is the second call for the public to address the commission, and the third and final call. Okay, moving on to our public hearing. There are two items for which we will hold a public hearing. We will now open the public hearing on item number 25D-15, resolution authorizing the conveyance of property to Fitwell Investments Limited Partnership for development. This is the second call for the public to address item number 25D-15, and this is the third and final call. Okay, public hearing for that item is now closed, and we will open the public hearing on item number 25D-16, resolution authorizing the conveyance of property to ABC Supply for development. And I'll note that while we have a public hearing for this item, there is no corresponding resolution on this agenda. This is the second call for the public to address item number 25D-16, and this is the third and final call. Okay, public hearing is now closed. We will move on to the approval of meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from our February 26, 2025 meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Commissioners, any comments on this? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move into the approval of cash transactions for February 1st, 2025 through February 28th, 2025. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Director Hobbs, anything to point out on here?
President Randall, commissioners, nothing really out of the ordinary. I will note that you see some expenses from the MPCA related to Atlas. Obviously, those are the two items that President Randall referenced during the public hearing, and so one of those items will be before you today, and the next one at our April meeting. So looking forward to continued movement on that parcel.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to resolutions for approval. We'll start with item 25D-15, resolution authorizing the conveyance of property to Fitwell Investments Limited Partnership for development. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Thank you. Director Hobbs.
President Randall, commissioners, so this resolution before you is to move forward in action to convey one of the remaining parcels at Atlas Industrial Park. This would be with Fitwell Investments, and their proposed plan is to redevelop one of the parcels to create a 20,000 square foot multi-tenant building at about 5,000 square foot per unit. Fitwell is the parent company to SCR, who will lease one of the spaces within the building, leaving the remaining three spaces available to lease to manufacturing and light industrial tenants. I'll say staff is particularly excited about this because we don't have an abundance of this type of space in Duluth, and so we're incredibly excited to not only see this opportunity be a fit for Fitwell and SCR, but also create some additional opportunities for that sector and that segment of our economy. I will say there is a project representative here with us tonight if there's any additional questions that you all might have related to this project.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Comments? If the representative would like to come up, they certainly can.
Only if there's questions.
Sure.
Well, here to answer questions if anybody has some questions about the proposals and so on, that's what I go out for. So.
Okay. Anybody? Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for being here, and the team here could answer the question. Can you just kind of give a highlight of the goals for development, what the development agreements lays out for timeline, and you know what your expectations are?
Well, the way the project's laid out right now, we still have some more due diligence we need to do to just make sure that from a standpoint on the property and so on, that everything is workable. One of processes for the Atlas Park, and I'm sure you people all know this, is we have to get an approval from the MPCA for the site development and so on. So we have to make that application. So we have some paperwork that has to be in place prior to moving forward. But all that being said, our goal is to start construction yet this summer with hopefully a completion as soon as possible. You know, realistically, goal to start this summer. If it takes 90 days, the MPCA, it might get closer to fall. You know, definitely by next spring, we would want to be done and into that building. One of the things that, you know, like was mentioned earlier, is Duluth has a shortage of space for just different types of businesses where they have a need for a loading dock as well as a drive-in door. That's something we've looked for in our business for the last couple of years and have been unable to find. Either buying a building of the right size or finding a spot to lease. So that's what started this this process. We looked at a couple other pieces of property, and then I had met with Dita and the employees and told us about the property out at Atlas. So that's where our goals are, is to build the building. It will be anywhere from 20 to 30,000 square feet. Obviously, today's construction costs, you know, I was just reading an article this morning that, you know, construction since 2020 has increased by 40%. So the construction costs are going to drive the finished size of the property. You know, if we have to stay at 20 and then add on later, but our goal would be actually to build 30 at this point if we can. So.
Question, more for staff, I believe this is. Could you tell me a little bit more on what the MPCA's role would be? As I look through the statement of purpose, looking at some of the uses that SCR has, like the free refrigeration, HVAC, will that be under their purview as far as zoning, coding, and we know sometimes refrigeration and or laundries, you know, leave contamination?
President Randall, Commissioner Kennedy, I can let staff speak to the MPCA process and involvement, but as it relates to zoning, most of that will qualify under our industrial zoning code, so those uses are uses that would fit for the parcels that exist at Atlas, and so those fall under that umbrella.
And our use will be for service. We already have a branch office here in Duluth in a small space that we're in, and our work in this area is primarily service, so everything we'd be doing would be within the environmental ground line guidelines they're established by the MPCA as well as the Environmental Protection Agency nationally as well and so on. So we're just storing refrigerants that we'd use for servicing supermarkets and heating and air conditioning, those type of things and so on that are normal in multiple other spaces here in Duluth. So. And just if I could just comment, the MPCA, where that comes in is they actually have to approve the site. We have to do a site layout, and they actually have to approve the site for the building. So,
commissioners, anyone else? Questions? So just to understand, is your outfit going to occupy one or two of these units, and then the rest will be?
So just to kind of correct you, start, Fitwell Properties is owned by my partner, Mike Fitch, and myself. Mm-hmm. We're the original owners, or second owners, actually my partner's dad, who started the business of SCR. Our sons now have taken over the business, so we're kind of working for them in a sense, but we will own the building. Fitwell Properties will own the building. SCR would occupy a 5,000 square foot space within the building.
Got it. So. Great, thank you. Yeah. Okay, if there's no other comments or questions, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 25D-17, resolution authorizing an 8th amendment to agreement with the Lakeview Properties LLC, modifying the project description, conditionally approving a partial sale of the property and project, and establishing updated project milestone requirements. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Director Hobbs.
President Randall, commissioners, so this resolution is really threefold, so I'm going to kind of talk through what each of those steps look like. I will also add there's a project representative here from this project as well, and she'll be available to answer any additional questions that I might not be able to address here today as well. So the three intended purposes of this resolution is to facilitate a partial sale of the property and project to an existing project investor. It will also update the project description and extend the project completion timeline to align with some other timelines that are relevant to this particular project. So DITA's approval and authorization of this sale will help to provide additional investment in the project, allowing the developer to proceed with some planned improvements in their commercial spaces and amenities. Your approval of the sale is conditioned upon the developer creating a common interest community, so splitting the property into two separate units while maintaining overall control and responsibility for the project. The investor must also agree to the existing obligations under the development agreement, so that is part of what is being agreed to on condition of this approval. In connection to this request, we will be amending the project description to allow the developer to address an emerging need in the market for fully furnished extended stay hospitality units on floors 3 and 4, so that would be up to 34 units. Due to the project's proximity to Essentia, there's been a lot of inquiries and interest about providing that more extended stay midterm rentals, whether that be for Essentia employees relocating, needing somewhere to stay until they find permanent housing. That could also include traveling nurses. So something that's not quite an annual lease, but allows them something a little more flexible while they look to find that permanent housing. One thing I will note, despite that, these units could still also be leased out as annual lease rentals that would be fully furnished. So this does not preclude them from leveraging those 34 units as the annual rentals, like the remaining 176, but does allow a little more flexibility to provide for those more midterm rentals, which we continue to hear a great demand and need for. This proactive modification does allow the project to meet this growing need around those midterm rentals while also maintaining our goal of long-term housing. So the remaining 176 units will be preserved for long-term market rate rental units. And finally, we are amending the completion date to 12/31/25 to be in alignment with other project deadlines that the developer has established with their general contractor. So this is the deadlines that, as we work with our other departments within the city, as they work with the general contractor, those are the deadlines that they're driving towards. I will note that staff is very supportive of this action because the developer has assured us that this investment will enable the project to continue forward with these desirable new amenities. We'll also respond to the market and preserving our goal of long-term housing in the downtown neighborhood. As I said, there is a representative here from the project that might want to address some additional project updates and answer any questions that you all might have.
Thank you.
Executive Director Hobbs, President Randall, Commissioners, my name is Lynette Slater Crandall, and I am part of our Minnesota-based Lakeview Properties and Landmark Development team. I'm sorry to be here for an eighth time, but the eighth time is the charm. We are thrilled with the progress that we're seeing on Superior Street. It was a little bit of a rocky start. We had some site conditions with the rock, some cold days this winter, but we are back on track and very excited about these market opportunities that we've begun to discover as we continue to work with your employers in the city, understand their needs, what you all hope and what residents seem to be desiring downtown. So if you'd like, I'd be happy to answer your questions, of course, but I could also provide you with a couple of quick updates just on where we are with the construction process, so you know what you're seeing on Superior there, and also some leasing updates.
Yeah, let's start with the updates. That'd be great.
Terrific. Well, I will rattle off a few quick things, and I'm not the one in the steel-toed boots, so if I don't have all the right answers, I'll get them for you. But currently, we have approximately 100 workers on the site each day. This summer, we'll probably be ramping up to closer to 200. We are proud to report that we have had no safety incidents on the project. Tomorrow, if you're driving or walking along Superior, you will see that they will be pouring concrete on level 10. And you're probably also starting to notice that precast window wall that's going up around the building. And so we're now currently utilizing our crane even better, working double shifts, and just catching up on a few of those cold days that unfortunately we had this winter. We expect to have our property manager on board very, very soon. We expect that on the residential leases, they'll be starting to actively take applications in July. On the commercial, first couple of levels, working on some term sheets, some exciting options for food, beverage, and some other services and amenities that we hope that downtown workers and really all of the Duluth community will appreciate. So nothing definitive that I can share with you yet, but we hope to be back with an update on that.
Thank you. Commissioners?
Go ahead. A couple questions. First of all, thank you, Lynette, for being here. Yes, I said I would never vote for another development agreement on this one, but the 8th feels different than the 7th, so it's been great to see the progress. Obviously, we were looking at a different situation back in, I think it was December when you were here last. So thank you, first of all, for the progress on the project so far. I just have a couple of questions, and the first is around what the driver was for the conversion. I hear the market need on looking for more optionality with some of the medical district adjacent needs being served there. But just from your perspective, wanted to see if you had any comments on the, I think it's, what is it, 14 units, 34 units that would be converted here.
Correct. Again, you know, I think the executive director summarized it very well, having these conversations about, especially with some of your largest employers moving in, new employees, new to the market, looking for maybe a first-time home purchase in the area, traveling medical professionals. So it was really a need that we heard loud and clear. That actually requires us to build out those units a little bit differently. Because they are turned over a little bit more frequently, there are some added improvements. They will be fully furnished as well. And as you noted, to the extent that this usage doesn't seem to be compatible, you know, with the project, with the downtown lifestyle, we would be able to rent those out as just as furnished units on an annual rental rate. Also, for some of our retail concepts, the other commercial uses we're looking at on floors 1 and 2, we did have an opportunity, an investment partner of ours who's already an investor in the Lakeview project, but also investing with us alongside us in some other parts of the country, loves the Duluth market. We saw an opportunity to do a little bit more than our budget would have allowed early in the project. And so when they were interested in coming in to fund some of these additional improvements, we didn't want to say no to that. Our other partners are contributing added capital as well. So no additional debt, just an opportunity to add some things from the wish list into the project, which we think will make it a better space for the downtown area.
Sure, that's awesome. And then my last question, as I read this, we've got language in there that says very clearly what the 176 units can be used for.
Correct.
For the 34, the backdrop and the context for DETA commissioners who may be at their first meeting, or even for us who have been here for a while, we've had other projects that have tried to open up their long-term units to vacation rentals, and I do not read that as the intent or being allowed through this development agreement, but I just wanted to get that on the record that none of these 34 units that we are using TIF for would be vacation rentals.
Yeah, that is not our intent. I might have Amanda help me a little bit with it, and I'm just starting to dive into the regulatory code with your city attorneys as well on the licensing. I know there's a more than 30 days and a less than 30 days type of a structure, but no, really our intent is that this is not, you know, summer vacationers who would otherwise be down in Canal Park. We really are looking for this kind of sweet spot, somebody who's new to the community, doesn't want to stay in a hotel, you know, themselves or potentially with family members, but they're looking for their forever home in Duluth. So that's our intent.
Okay.
President Randall, Commissioner Forsman, I think to that point, city kind of defines it in two ways, short-term, less than 30 days, long-term, or more regular rentals, more than 30 days. So for that sake, those are the only two definitions that we have, which is where this intention and that additional context is incredibly important and necessary to convey that intention and use, where the definitions that we have existing don't necessarily allow to us to parse that out really any differently.
That's helpful. And I'm comfortable moving forward this tonight. I think maybe just putting a little bit more around that and thinking about memorializing that somehow would be very helpful for when it comes to the council, because I'm sure I won't be the only one with that question.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Commissioners? Go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner Forsman. I, as a counselor as well, had that same question, and so a lot of them had been answered. But I also have an experience in being a traveling physical therapy assistant and had stayed at extended stays, and how important that is for the medical field and as well as our community. But I would really like as well to make sure that that's what the purpose is, and that it doesn't move back to just the basic vacation rentals. I know our community is very, very adamant that we have housing, but it's not necessarily vacation rental. Especially when it's in a farm district, there's no regulation around that, but we know it really hurts some of that housing stock. And we can't take that into consideration when we're looking at the numbers of housing versus allowable vacation rentals. So, thank you. I don't know if that was a question or...
Thank you, Commissioner, for your comments. Very much taken to heart, and again, expressing our intent that, you know, again, a very unique need. I know I always stay at a variety of establishments, but primarily in the downtown area. When I'm at the Sheraton, there's never a day that I don't see, you know, walking in or out or up in the lounge, grabbing a cup of coffee, somebody in their scrubs, so... So we have been having very serious conversations with your medical providers as well as other large employers. I know your chamber president is here as well. So again, we've been glad that we can help fill this niche in the market.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, Commissioner Markham had a comment, I believe, or a question.
Thank you, President Randall, and thank you for being here tonight. As being one of the commissioners amongst at least two more that I weren't here for amendments 1 through 7, can you just kind of give us an update since amendment 7 was executed and the milestones established in that of where construction is tracking with those goals and when you intend to start hitting like the lease up milestones and those kind of targets?
So most of, Commissioner, most of the milestones that were actually in the development agreement get us up to the certificate of completion. And then, of course, we have ongoing obligations as to how we report and own and operate the property consistent with the development agreement. But a lot of those milestones were really to ensure that the project was getting moving. As you know, we came to you before COVID, had a plan to move forward as, you know, we saw the hospital, of course, going up, the new Essentia health facility. We were involved in that with Essentia as well and helping them to get that out of the ground and complete. We were sensitive to some of the labor issues just about the time we were ready to get into the market. You know, COVID hits, and we certainly had some challenges in the capital markets with growing construction costs and budgets, as you heard from the other gentleman who was speaking to you tonight. Really incredible requirements for equity from the banks, nothing like we've ever seen in 30 years in the industry. So slower getting started than we would have hoped, but we struck a partnership with Old National Bank, who's been very good to work with, been moving along. I would say the only delays on the milestones really have been tied to some somewhat unforeseen, well, very, very much unforeseen site conditions early on, just getting into the rock and that retaining wall that was in place behind the original building. And a few more cold days than we had budgeted for or hoped for. But otherwise, we're just moving that completion date from the September date to the December date, which is consistent with our contract, with the contractors, the general contractor, and also our agreements with the bank. So we're very comfortable with that deadline.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll just add one more comment. Super excited to see the progress. It's great. So I can't look forward to it being open. And hopefully we get another project after this one.
We'd love to continue to invest in this market. So appreciate all of your help and support over the years. Staff has been wonderful. And thank you again for your thoughtfulness. And we look forward to being back with some more updates again soon, sharing more good news.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. I got one question for you and one for Director Hobbs. So the change in scope, or do you have to go back to OMB and get financing approvals, or is this coming as cash and you're just going?
There's no additional debt with this. Okay. So this is all added equity.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Director Hobbs, with the TIF on this, are we going to have to bring this back to the table to do additional adjustments to the development agreement, or are we covering that tonight?
President Randall, Commissioners, that is all encompassed in the resolution that's before you tonight.
Got it.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Isn't the TIF in another resolution? One of the other ones that are on the agenda today?
President Randall, Commissioner Kennedy, those are actually going to be just simple amendments to update a title for the organization's name. The LLC was incorrectly listed. So no action other than a real housekeeping item to make sure that the record accurately reflects the name of the developer.
So does the TIF timeline change at all?
President Randall, Commissioner Kennedy, so the project certificate of completion deadline that's included in there is that extension that we're making to 12/31/25.
And so what year does the TIF end?
So TIF, this will be, I believe this calls for, allows for the full 26 years of the redevelopment TIF. And so those timelines would be reflected and don't change in effect from what was put forth, because that will be triggered when the project is completed.
President Randall, Commissioners, I direct you to paragraph 6 of the amendment. It was updating the TIF note to reflect the end date being December 31st. The TIF note will continue on until 2050.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question would be for the developers person. We had talked about having like amenities and maybe possibly a grocery store, because the nearest one would be Super One, but to be really more accessible, and then looking at sort of the neighborhood. Would that be open to neighborhood folks as well as folks living?
Absolutely, Commissioner Kennedy. We have worked very, very, very hard on the grocery concept. It has been a bit challenging. We've looked at local grocers, regional, national. There are some square footage requirements that are challenging to meet. However, what I am hoping that I can come back and tell you soon is that we will at least have I would call it more of a market type concepts for provisions and things that would be, again, attractive to not only residents in the building, but anybody walking downtown, working downtown. So you might not think of it as a full-scale grocery, but a market type of a concept is something we're continuing to pursue very, very aggressively.
I would love fresh vegetables.
We understand fresh vegetables, fresh flowers. I know all of those things are so wonderful. So we really are continuing to work hard at that.
Thank you.
I just have one comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm new here, so first ever commissioner comment. But as a small business owner who owns a smaller property, we have multiple uses in our building. So I love that the city is being open to, on a large scale, having developers and companies have multiple uses for this building. So it's very exciting to me. I just wanted to add that insight.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes.
Okay, last one. Does the added scope, is there the possibility for increased increment at the end if the market value is higher than it was going to be originally? Or is that set in stone?
Should be set with the TIF plan. President Randall, Commissioners, that is established with that TIF plan,
yeah.
And so we do set the ceiling, and you'll see that reflected. That won't change.
Got it. Okay, any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the last two items here. We'll start with item 22D-42A, resolution authorizing Sixth Amendment to Agreement with Lakeview Properties LLC, modifying the interest rate payable and establishing updated project start date requirement. Do I have a motion? Thank you. Director Hobbs.
President Randall, Commissioners, as a reminder, this is solely an amendment that is a housekeeping item largely to ensure that the LLC name is listed properly. I believe it said Lakewalk Properties previously, and so we just want to make sure that all documentation that we have is consistent and correct.
So only a naming amendment, not anything with the interest rate?
That is correct.
Got it. Commissioners, any questions? Good. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to item 23D-43A, resolution authorizing Seventh Amendment to Agreement with Lakeview Properties LLC, modifying the interest rate payable, establishing updated project milestone date requirements, and adjusting TIF note dates. Do I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Thank you. Director Hobbs.
President Randall, Commissioners, same thing here, updating it from Lakewalk Properties to Lakeview Properties so that everything is consistent and accurate.
Got it. So only change is to the name.
Correct.
Questions? Comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you. We will now move into a report from DETA Director Ms. Hobbs.
President Randall, Commissioners, thank you. In a minute here, we'll hear from our partners at the Upper Midwest Film Office. But before we do that, I wanted to take a moment to welcome our two newest DETA commissioners, Commissioner Bailey and Commissioner Anymore. We're incredibly excited that you're here with us today. We had the privilege of doing an onboarding session with them on Monday. So they got a crash course in all things DETA, an update on a lot of the projects that have been in front of you all over the last couple years, and a deep dive on today's agenda. So we're very grateful for your service. We're excited that you're here and looking forward to our work together.
Thank you.
We're more fun here at DETA. That's right. Well, with that, again, I didn't really have anything else that I wanted to share because I wanted to allow the Upper Midwest Film Office ample time to give you updates on the film incentive. I know we were hoping to do this, I think, a little earlier in the year, but we're glad and grateful that we're able to do that today. So I will welcome up Sherry Marshick and Ricky McManus from the Upper Midwest Film Office.
Hi.
Hello.
I am Sherry Marshick. I'm the Executive Director of the Upper Midwest Film Office. I'm really glad to be here. My business partner, Ricky McManus, is here. She is our Chief Production Officer. You have in front of you a one sheet that is something. I'm not going to talk through all of the things. That was our 2024 sort of, hey, here's what's going on in 2024 and what we've done. I'm going to speak a little bit to the details that are in there, but we have a little bit more introduction to the program so that everybody understands what the program is, and then we'll dig into some agenda or what works, what didn't, and where are we going from here. So we can go to the next one. So just a little bit of a reminder of what this is and what it is and what it isn't. So this is a rebate that is an incentive program that is similar to many other programs in the United States. So the film and TV production industry is about a $19 billion a year industry. We, in northern Minnesota, it's very expensive to make a movie here because you have to bring in all of your crew, all of your infrastructure, everything. And so in order for us to capture any of that business, we need to offer incentives. The incentives that we offer are cash rebates. There are other incentives that states, the state of Minnesota has, which I can explain in a second, but these are cash rebates that are zero risk. And what happens is a production company will contact us. They will say, we are interested in connecting with you and shooting in your region. We reel them in. We are a sales office. We actually fall under tourism in the state if you look at how we're doing this. So our whole role is to sell the region and get people to do that, make their investment here. They contact us, we help reel them in, they apply for the incentive program, they spend their money here first, we come back and audit everything that they've done. I'm talking every single Quick Trip receipt, every single Super One receipt, all of their receipts. We then take that audited statement, turn it into our partners at the city. They give us the rebate back. We issue the rebate back to the project. So the project, and the investment that the city is making is having that cash available. So it's a little bit about how the incentives work. If you click to the next one. So the cool thing and the thing that we say is probably the most unique is that we have stackable incentives at an almost ridiculous rate right now. So the state of Minnesota has a transferable tax credit. There's $1 million minimum for anybody to take advantage of that. They have to spend $1 million or more in the state in order to do that. They will get a transferable tax credit. That means that if they have any kind of a tax burden in the state, then they could use that credit for that. Otherwise, they can sell that credit. There's an open market for tax credits. And we have many corporations that are happy to buy tax credits and they've been actually very, very lucrative, 93, 94 cents on the dollar. And so we have a good market here in Minnesota for those tax credits. But again, in northern Minnesota, you can see on this map that's in front of you, we have some incentives that can stack. St. Louis County is the largest pot of money. It's $1 million incentive, 25% cash back on expenditures that are expended in St. Louis County. And then that can stack on top of, or the DDA incentive can stack on top of that. So now you get 25% from the state in the form of a credit. And then from a cash rebate perspective, we have St. Louis County and Duluth that they can stack on for actually 75% back. Now, some people might say, wow, we're giving them a whole lot of money. Remember, we're not giving anybody any money. We're rebating money that's been spent here. And if not for these incentives, they would not come because it is expensive to do the work here. 38 other states have state programs, and many of them have regional offices similar to what we have. We are our own private, not connected with any way with any other state entity. We are a 501c3, and we are independent. So these rebates that we offer up here can help us to attract projects to come to the state, or to Duluth. You'll see here, we have a pot of $200,000 in the city of Duluth. That goes very, very quickly. We've extinguished that already for the year. We'll talk about the projects that are coming shortly, but that pot's pretty small, but it does help to bring things along. We have a $10,000 minimum spend on our projects, and that's important. And it's important because that means that local filmmakers, small independent filmmakers, people who are making their first time projects, can also take advantage of this program, as well as very large programs. So the city of Duluth has a $10,000 minimum, $200,000 pot a year, that then we are how we sell that is that's stacking on top of the St. Louis County incentive, that is $1 million, also $10,000 minimum. So we'll keep going. You want to flip to the next one there. It's worked so far, right? We've got a $3.1 million investment that cost $800,000 for DDA, so a pretty good return. If you want to go to the next one. Here are some of the movies that have been filmed. There have been more than this, but here are just some that you may have remembered being out there. Lifetime and Hallmark movies are kind of the budget level at which we are right now, but I'll point out the one in the bottom, that's Man Has a Mania. That was a local creator. His minimum spend, I think, was $11,000 or something like that, but it allowed him to make a movie. He's now come back and he's making another one that's a $35,000 movie. So not only are we helping to develop the ecosystem here of creators having local stories told, having local people work on projects, we also are attracting people from the coasts. We had a Russian team that was here that the project fell out because of talent, but we can talk about that later. So we have a lot of different places that we're attracting talent, and I'm excited to say that these are some of the projects that was shot in the last couple of years, or last, yeah, 3 years, yes, okay. So how was that $3.1 million spent? You can see in front of you how it has been spent. Approximately, some of these numbers are estimated and forecasted based upon what we think that they will do, because we don't have reporting from all of our 2024 projects yet. This is not a fast process, but You can see that we have almost all of our projects reported from 2024. Now 2025, we're starting to, we've had one project go. So this is the kind of things that they're spending their money on. That number, 37% of personnel number that you see there, we would love that number to be 60%. We have a long way to go. The reason why we want that number to be 60% is because those dollars then ripple through our economy even more. So if you flip to the next one, oh, this is a fun number, 6,872 hotel rooms to date. Now, the 2024 projects that are in that number aren't accounted for yet, but it's a nice number to look at. And that's for Duluth hotel rooms, not Hermantown, not anything else, only in the city of Duluth. On the next screen, okay, this is the number that I wanted to get to. So we had a study done in 2022 by the University of Minnesota, and they said for every dollar that is spent from an incentive perspective, we were looking at the St. Louis County incentive at the time, $6.90 ripples through the economy. And the reason why that high number, that is a high number, in fact, the woman that was doing the survey was like, I gotta look at this again because I don't know that that's necessarily correct. And the reason why is because typically we want those numbers, we want that personnel number to be higher because then that money is spent here on their, all of the things we all spend our money on here, right? So that is the reason why, and actually these numbers are actually higher than other major industries like timber and ore, probably because of all of those reasons that we've already talked about, that these are rebates on expenses that are already spent here. So the money's already flipping through our economy. So I'm gonna flip to the next one. These are some new businesses. Some of you have seen this before. We've added a few more that have been opened in the city of Duluth. We have more than this in St. Louis County that have opened, but just an indicator of, now the numbers that these businesses are generating are not included in our numbers, but these are just the started to see the ripple effects of businesses that have been started here. I'll point out, like Makala Media is that gray square in the middle. That guy's name is Eric Makala. He's young, he has a family. He has now opened his own rental. He found a space that he can put rental equipment in. He's worked on almost every single movie that we've had. He went through one of our workshops and said, this is what I wanna do. I've finally found it, and he's continued to work, and now he's opened actually two businesses. North Star Media Production is his second business. So we are seeing results of people actually investing in the city of Duluth. So there's a lot more out there that we can talk to, but I want to point out that it's local people that are also benefiting. It's not just outside investment coming in, although we do want that outside investment coming in very much. Okay, go ahead. So what's happening now? These numbers are hard to see, but I just kind of want to tell you, okay, what's happening this year? We have four projects. We have something called The Ravine. They're gonna shoot in May and June. It is very similar to the other Lifetime projects that you've seen come through. Why Lifetime? Why are we getting these little Lifetime projects? Distribution to Lifetime is one of the easiest distribution pieces you can get because they wanna kinda churn and burn. So we're gonna continue to see these lower budget movies like that are horror and Christmas movies. Why? Christmas movies, we all don't really care if the snow looks real or not when we're watching them. We just want to feel good and watch them kiss at the very end because we want feel good, right? Why is horror something that is attracted with a small budget or lower budget projects? Because again, they don't care. The customer doesn't care at the very end. And so it's just a little tidbit about why you'll see certain kinds and certain genres popping up and going, at the end of the day, you guys, we don't care, right? We want the outside investment coming in. We want people working here. We want people spending money in our restaurants, at our hotels, buying things at our local stores and using our print shops. But that's the reason why we see some of these little projects coming in. So we've got The Ravine coming in. We've got a post-only project. This Sisters of Scott County is a post project that allowed one of the brand new businesses that you saw there. It allowed him to capture a project that is based in Kentucky. But he gets to work here in Duluth because that producer called us and said, hey, if I hire your people, can I utilize this program? And the answer is yes. We want people working year-round. Whether or not we're shooting a huge, huge film here or we're doing a post-only project, those editors, sound design, color correcting, all of that kind of stuff, that's a whole entire industry that can happen and can attract young people because they can work, it's location agnostic, they can live and work here. Wilcox decided that he was going to move back from LA and live and work in Duluth because he grew up here and wanted to move back here. So that's the Sisters One. Nerds Doing Good is the second movie that guy that I said, he made that little tiny project. He came back. He's going to do something about the Ronald McDonald House in Duluth. We're very excited about that. And then we have a new Bella, which is a large project, right? That's going to happen. You've seen the size of those projects in the past. And that eats up our whole program for the year. Our whole program will be accomplished by June of this year. So if you go to the next slide, we're not going to dig into this. What I want you to see on this is demand. So in the red circle, you see we're looking for projects all the time. We meet with hundreds of projects a year. We know who's in production, who's ready to go, how it's going, but what we want you to see is this is something that we keep track of. It's a little subjective, but we say, how out of all this list, because we've got a bunch of which ones are likely? And we try to go after those. We are selling to those people, and you'll see that there's $37 million worth of business that is, we're calling likely. Depends on who you ask if it's likely or not. But that's the demand. We're not going to get that. We don't have that much in terms of incentive dollars. But when people ask us, like, yeah, but will they ever really come here? That's the demand that we're looking at. And that's what we're trying to get. Next slide, please. So what are our challenges? We have three challenges. One's a little bit different than it has been in the past. Competition, lack of crew, and infrastructure. We're going to talk about what we're going to do about those kinds of things next. So competition, two things. This is a very different industry than it has been in the past. When we started this whole thing in 2019, when I came into the industry, it was a very different industry for all kinds of reasons. Streaming platforms make a big difference. We can have a lot more smaller budget independent projects that can happen. That's a very good thing for us. We want those smaller projects because people can work on those projects, gain experience, and move on and move up into project and into the world. But we also have a lot of competition. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is build awareness. We got a DITA marketing grant last year that allowed us to make a digital paid ad, and it also allowed us to revamp all of our marketing materials. So yes, that is one way that we're building awareness, but we'll talk about another way where we get eyeballs here in a second. But awareness is a thing. We have huge competition and with Canada. It's our biggest competitor is Canada. They have a 40% rebate and they'll give people money up front. So we have a lot of competition, but they also have rules on who owns the project, who can work on the project, all those kinds of things. So we have our little niche, and I'm very excited about it, but our competition is fierce. Okay, next slide. Crew, that is our number one, bar none. The thing that we need the most is more people to work. How do we do that? Two ways. One, we get projects. So that's the chicken and the egg thing, right? Like, if you get projects, people can work. If you don't have projects, how can you get people? But secondarily, we're working really hard to do workshops that allow people to be exposed to the industry, that allow people to say, hey, this is something that I never thought about. I told you already about Eric, who has started his own business, but we have all kinds of different ways that people can come in and try things out. This last year, we started a beta program where we're allowing somebody who's worked a few times to be able to work under the mentorship of somebody. And so this last project that was in Ely, there's a young woman from Aurora who got to work under a wardrobe designer called Kirsten Hargroder. She'd worked on all kinds of very famous stuff. And she got to work directly underneath her. The reason why she did that is because we gave a grant to the production that said, we'll give you money to cover having two people do one position. We're giving you the money, you're getting the benefit, but we get the benefit of somebody actually starting from pre-production all the way through wrap that they normally wouldn't have access to in order to learn underneath people who have honed their craft their whole entire lives. So workshops are definitely what we're doing. We do not have workshops right now currently in Duluth, which is a hurdle because people have transportation conflicts. The reason for that is because we don't have funding to do workshops here. We continue to work at that every day. This year we have, for 18 months, we will have had a development director that we contracted with that has been working on finding funding for those that we could have locally here, but that is still a need for us to do locally in Duluth. I'm trying to go quickly. One more. Community development. This is something that we work very, very hard at because if you have local creators, we know that local creators are the number one people that work on projects. So we need to have a place that people, storytellers, can have their stories told. We need to have a place where people can live, work, and thrive. And so we were very proud last year to become both St. Louis County and IRRB's main person that decides. They granted us money, and then what we do is decide where that ecosystem grant should go. So we have given so far this year $52,000 to ecosystem, to our, what we're calling our community grants or ecosystem grants, to Zeitgeist, to the Ely Film Festival, to places that are helping to bring the eyeballs of the world here. When we have festivals, it's the easiest way for us to get somebody looking around saying, wow, I really would love to shoot a project here. It's how we've gotten most of our projects have been through connections of festivals. So having these festivals be consistent, be quality, and be bringing the eyes of the world here are an important piece. It's actually the least expensive way that we can do this versus us traveling out and peddling one-to-one-to-one. Having a festival bring a bunch of people in is a way for us to get that. So that is one of the things that we're doing. We also were super proud last year to sponsor through that same community development fund a project that was aimed at kids. And they just got to, it was called Horror High. Again, horror, I don't love it, but they do. Kids love it. And so some kids, we had a number of kids from Duluth, they, and then a lot of kids from the range. They got to work with Carl Gajizek, who was the showrunner for Stranger Things season one. He wrote Oblivion with Tom Cruise. He directed a movie that they got to work on for a week. And then this last weekend at Minnesota Film Festival, those kids got to go to the Minnesota Film Festival. They got to see the talent that was there. Carl was there. They got to see their movie on the big screen. So it's a really, really fun way for us to then continue to have not only adults, but kids starting to see that these are possibilities, that they don't have to necessarily move to LA or New York in order to be there, to be in the industry. So I could talk a lot more about that, but if I can answer any questions about that, I would love to. And then I think, one more. Oh, you can, I think that one has one more click to it, and then it kind of goes through. But the one thing I do want to say is that any business can find an additional revenue stream in this industry, whether you're rentals, whether you are retail, whether you are construction, there is always another revenue stream within this industry. And so this is just simply another industry for Duluth to have that sits alongside every other. And this is a manufacturing business. We are manufacturing content. All of these positions that we're talking about are considered, some people call them blue collar. They're very much trade related positions. And so there is always another entity that can benefit from these movies coming to town. And then I think this is the final one. So to take away, it is working. We have demonstrated results. It's fantastic. Consistency is key. We do need to continue with these incentives at this level, at least for the next couple of years. I can dig into why that would be in another conversation. But workforce is our top priority, just like everybody else. But I think what we can see is that these jobs can nest nicely with other positions. And I can talk also all day long about different ideas on how we can find other workforce, be it with justice impacted people or people who want to maybe tiptoe into the workforce and maybe not work all the time. This is a great project for them. But then also for people who want to work year round and can maybe travel with this industry is also another one. And then also we're working with our partners, the Zeitgeist of the world, other nonprofits that have been really, really integral in terms of the developing of this ecosystem. And so we're working with them. That was a really quick way. We are very, very grateful for DITA for coming to the table and for doing this. I understand the ask of this. I see DITA's budget. I see their revenue streams stream, and I understand it. But what I hope that you all can see and feel is that there are tangible results coming back into the city based upon the results that we're showing, and I would be thrilled to answer any of your questions.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Randall. I don't have any questions. Just great to see you as always, both of you. Thank you for your work in making this program as successful as it's been. I would love to grow it long term. I know we're not in a position today with how much we have with DITA, but it's something I think we can all shoot for. So keep going.
Okay. Anybody else?
Anybody else have comments?
No question, just thank you.
Thank you. If anybody wants to, two things. If anybody is interested in doing set visits, please let us know because we will be conducting set visits, and I think that's a really great way for commissioners to see what happens on a set and see all the people that are working on a set. So please let me know, and then also I'm happy to walk through any of these things with you as well. So thank you.
President Randall, commissioners, I just wanted to add a few quick things. Of course, thank you to our partners at the Upper Midwest Home Office. We love working with you guys. And for the context of commissioners, obviously DITA administers or provides this fund for UMFO to be able to administer. But we do work closely not only with UMFO, but also on Zeitgeist on understanding what we can do to help grow the industry. And so whatever that might look like beyond the incentive is important for us to understand and prioritize. And so whatever the future looks like, we're super excited for our continued work. And as Commissioner Forsman said, we look forward to growth in this space as well.
Thank you.
Okay, any final comments from commissioners? Seeing none, this meeting is now adjourned.